Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Kids, I know, say, I want to be respectful to my parents, but I want them to mind your own business. Give me some privacy.
What every teen girl is going to go through.
Dad, please, you're embarrassing us. Making teenagers depressed is like shooting fish in a barrel.
I'm Jim Burns. Now, sometime during her teen and preteen years, your daughter just might stop talking to you. Well, she's going to start moving from dependence upon you to independence, and as a result, it's going to feel a little bit more of a challenge to get her to open up. I'm an expert on this. I've had three teenage daughters. Now, this isn't a total cause for alarm, but it is just enough of a reason to be concerned. And that's why we're going to devote this edition of Homeward to helping you do a better job of staying connected to your daughter, even when it seems like she wants nothing to do with you. Well, Susie Schellenberger is with me here in studio today. She's the editor of Focus on the Family's Brio magazine. And we'll talk about hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. That's next. Right here on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and a lot of APU undergrads, especially the girls there, know the name Susie Schellenberger. They remember growing up with Brio magazine from Focus on the Family and now the Susie magazine that she's been publishing for a couple of years. Susie Schellenberger has a heart for young women, and she likes to connect moms and daughters together. And during the next half hour, we're going to hear a conversation that she had with Dr. Jim Burns about hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. Boy, that's a big one. Homeward is here because of your prayers and faithful financial support. You are telling us that you appreciate the ministry of Homeward with your gifts, and we appreciate when you send a gift to Homeward at homeward.com through our secure website. And now, here's Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Very happy to have this program on today. We are so fortunate to have Susie Schellenberger with us. We're talking about hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. She's the author of tons of books, including What Your Daughter Isn't Telling You, Anybody Got a Clue About Guys, and Here For You, Creating a Mother-Daughter Bond That Lasts a Lifetime. Makes her home in Colorado Springs. We're actually talking to her here in the Focus on the Family studios. They've been so generous with us today to offer their studio so we could have this conversation. Susie, welcome to our program.
Jim, it is an honor to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we have wanted to have you again on our program. We'll take you anytime we can have you. And one of the most common questions I seem to hear from moms is, why won't my daughter talk to me anymore? I mean, we saw this with our own daughters. We thought, everybody else will have this problem, but not our kids. Yeah. And they get to be about 12, 13, and they were wonderful, and they also didn't want to talk to us. You know, is that happening in your world? Do you hear that?
Absolutely. And Jim, the first thing I want to say to moms is so much of that is just normal. It's just a normal phase of what every teen girl is going to go through. And so, mom, please take heart right now. Don't feel like you're the only one. If your daughter is not talking, if she's rolling her eyes and slamming the door, this too shall pass. Right. It's a simple, normal phase of what she's going through. But to answer your question, well, how can I get my daughter to talk to me? You know, ideally, Jim, as you so well know, that communication really begins when she's a baby, you know, and if you can develop that open communication way back when she's knee-high to a grasshopper and then cultivate that on through her teen years. And already I think I can hear some moms going, oh man, I didn't have that when she was younger. So now is there no hope? Yes, of course there's hope. If you don't have a great relationship with your teen daughter right now, then you can start right now to have a great relationship with your teen daughter. So how can I get her to start communicating? Well, one thing is not just pray for your daughter, but pray with your daughter. Right. Yeah, but Susie, my daughter still won't communicate with me. It's going to be awkward. Yes, it is going to feel awkward. Anything worth anything is may be awkward at first. But at the end of the day, when it may not be your time, mom, but it might be your daughter's time, maybe she comes to life at 11:30 and you're thinking, I've had a full day. I need to be in bed by 11:30. Do it on her timetable. Right. Walk into a room, sit on the edge of the bed, and ask her questions that are open-ended, that don't demand just a yes or no answer. Honey, what was the best thing about today? What was the worst thing about today? What can I pray for you specifically about tomorrow? Do you have a history quiz third hour? Or you worried about passing somebody in the hallway tomorrow during lunch or whatever? That way, you're getting some inside information from your daughter, and then sit on the edge of her bed and pray with her. She may not respond to praying back with you. She does great, but if she doesn't, she's still hearing her mom walk her into the throne room of God. And there's something powerful about that, and that will start to breed communication.
No, it really makes a sense. You got to keep relationship. And a lot of times, I think moms and dads too, frankly, you know, we have agendas with our kids.
Yeah.
And so we want to go through that list, when really what kids do, is, especially at teen years, is they hang out. And so sometimes they need their mom just to hang out.
Absolutely.
Their dad to hang out. Kathy would do something at night, and I would too with our girls. We found that they would talk most when they were in bed. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'd kind of rub my daughter's backs. And, of course, no hormones and drama in our life.
Yeah.
All girls in our family. But I would kind of rub their back, and we'd just sort of start talking. And that's when they'd open up about boys, about mm-hmm. hurts, about fears. And one of the things that it seems to me, and I've been following Brio Magazine for a long time and following your ministry and your incredible outreach, it seems to me that kids today girls seem to be more lonely and more depressed. At least they seem to write to you more mm-hmm. often about issues like that than even in past generations. What do you say to the kid who is depressed and lonely? And are girls more depressed and more lonely than maybe even a few generations ago?
I think they are, Jim. I would agree to that. And I don't want to blame everything on the media, but let me start there. It is depressing for a teen girl who everything in her body is changing right now. Her hormones are waking up and going wacko, so to speak. And you know, everything's developing and changing, and the whole menstrual cycle and just everything is topsy-turvy and going haywire. And so it doesn't help when she turns on the television and sees her favorite castmates in a size zero. It used to be a size two, now it's a size zero, and a size two is now considered fat. So none of that helps. And then also with the media underneath that umbrella, the whole internet and MySpace and Facebook and all that, what it's doing is stripping girls of communicating face-to-face. It's stripping them of their verbal interpersonal skills. It's so much safer and easier to communicate with someone behind a screen than face-to-face. And guess what? That cultivates loneliness. Yes. It cultivates aloneness. Mm.
You know, what's fascinating about that is that this generation seems to be more connected because of things like MySpace,
yes.
Facebook, and all that. But in reality, what I hear you saying, and it's my experience too, is that a lot of them are desperately lonely because they're not connected
yes.
person to person.
Right.
It's something that parents have to be very aware of, don't
they? We all need Jesus with skin on. And you mentioned just a second ago your routine of rubbing the back of your daughter while she was in bed, and that's when she would open up to you. It's that physical contact
right.
with someone that we know and we love and we trust. And the reason your daughter was open with you was because she knows you, she loves you, she trusts you, and you are on her turf. She's in
right.
a safe environment.
Yeah.
This is my bedroom. I'm on my bed, and this is my time. It's when I'm ready to go to bed and when I'm ready to talk.
Right.
It's not when Dad's saying, come in here to my office and let's sit down and talk at 4:30. No, this is my time. It's 11:30 midnight, and she it was her comfort zone.
No, that is interesting. I want to get back to something that you talked about. You talked about puberty, and basically the body is changing so much. What do you say to a girl who says, my goodness, this isn't the body I had last year, last month, and I'm a little bit fearful and I'm a little bit excited, but I don't really know what's going on?
Yeah. First of all, I'd say your fears are absolutely normal. Please don't think, oh, no, I'm a freak. Please know you're normal. And if you were here in person, I'd give you a big bear hug and we'd mm-hmm. go out for a Coke. Secondly, I would say to her, I promise it's all going to work out. Mm-hmm. Just to get specific, you know, as we develop breasts, they're asymmetrical. In other words, they don't develop at the same rate. So one breast is going to be a little bit bigger than the other breast. And that can freak a teen girl
yeah.
out to look at herself and say, I'm absolutely horrified at myself. One is bigger than the other. You know, I want to say to her, it's okay. That's totally normal. Every other teen girl your age is going through the same thing. She's just not talking about it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you'd say that. As a youth pastor, one time a girl said that to me, all boys in my family.
Oh,
now,
no.
My girls were younger. And I had no idea. And so I panicked and brought my wife
yeah.
in. And she goes, oh, that's normal. You know, that happened to me when I was in eighth grade and on. And the girl goes, oh, thank you. She gives me a hug and gives my wife a hug and moves on.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. But what you're saying is when it comes to some of these physical issues, it's going to work out.
Yeah. And we just need
yeah.
to hear someone say, you're okay. You're normal. You don't have to freak out about it.
I've heard you say that it's better that sex and sexuality is communicated by a mom and a dad with their kids than, you know, them getting it from the media. What do you say to a mom or dad who says, you know what, I didn't receive good, positive, healthy, value-centered sex education. I have no idea what to do. And my kids, I'm worried that they're going to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
What do they do? What do they say?
Well, there are so many great resources available today. You know, your book, Purity Code, is one example. Dr. James Dobson's book, Preparing for Adolescence. There are so many great resources available to parents. I would say get one of those great resources and use the help from that to open the conversation with your daughter or with your son. I know we're just talking about daughters today, but be very open with her. Don't make it an embarrassing thing. You know, I would say take your daughter out for an afternoon, just the two of you, and just say, you know what, let's just do some girl talk. Let's just talk about some stuff between the two of us that we don't really need to bring your dad in on right now. How do I find the right bra size? How do I shop for a bra? You know, the whole tampon pad, all that stuff. Just girl talk. Let's just have a girl talk afternoon. And that's a great way to open up into the whole sexual thing by just starting by talking about some girl issues.
Great, great input. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Susie Schellenberger with us, hearing what your daughter isn't telling you just when a teenage daughter needs her mom the most. She often shuts herself off from mom. At least that was our experience for a while, sometimes from the rest of the family. However, with the right attitude and lots of patience and prayer, as we've been talking about, it is possible to unlock her heart.
That is so key. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in his conversation with Susie Schellenberger. She's written a book called What Your Daughter Isn't Telling You. And Susie has some great insights for parents about teen and preteen girls and how to hear those nonverbal cues, those times when your daughter might want to withdraw a little bit. And at the same time, she's pulling away. She's also saying, come after me. Please don't let me get too far out of your reach, mom and dad, because our teenage daughters and our preteen daughters need us desperately, whether they will admit to that or not. Homeward is here to give you the tools that you need to stay in touch with your kids, especially during those teen and preteen years. I think of Jim's book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. If you'd like more information on ordering a copy of that book from Homeward, go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Ugh, what happened to you, Tina? You hardly look like yourself this morning. Oh well, as soon as I fix my hair, put it on my face, I'll look like me again. Whoever me is. Lord, who am I anyway?
I think you're an exceptional student, Tina. I know you'd never disappoint your mother by bringing home a bad grade.
You're daddy's little girl, Tina. You'll always be 5 years old to me.
Tina, you're such a brain. I hate you because you're so smart.
Tina, it's Heather. You're daydreaming again. Stop hogging the bathroom. We're going to be late for school.
Boy, girls today suffer greatly from a lack of proper self-image, and it affects every area of their lives. As a parent, we need to view our daughters the way God views them, because they are special, and they are gifted, and they are unique. That's why I want you to have a copy of my free tip sheet called 9 Ways to Make Your Daughter Feel Loved. For a free copy, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Homeward is the place where parents get real answers. Be sure to visit the Real Life Answers section of our online resource center for a comprehensive listing of the hundreds of real life answers to the questions we receive from parents each day all over the world. There's more than 1,500 of them listed. And for more details, go to homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Susie Schellenberger with us, one of my favorite guests here, just having a great conversation about hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. Now, as many of you know, I have 3 daughters. And so, of course, and I teased about this, there was no drama and hormones in our family. Actually, there was lots of drama and hormones. I actually remember the day when Christy, at age 12, who I said this would never happen to me, said, Dad, I don't want to go into the Golden Spoon yogurt with you because there are boys there and they're going to see me with you. It broke my heart. And, you know, Kathy had some of those, and we had it with all of our girls. Susie, you are the editor of Brio Magazine, and I mentioned at the beginning of this program that I actually read Brio. And I do it because I want to understand youth culture, and I want to understand how you communicate to kids, and you do such an effective job. And by the way, there's a link today on our website so that our listeners can take a look at Brio and get some information on it as well. You get lots of emails. And, you know, I don't know that you know this, but I actually write the column for Ignite Your Faith. It's Campus Life. I've done it for probably 15 years.
I've seen that. It's great.
And it is amazing to me because how honest and transparent kids will be. And I want to read to you an email that you got that you put in one of your books here. And it says, I danced with a guy at a school party and he kept pressuring me to kiss him. I didn't give in, but it scared me and excited me at the same time. I actually appreciated her honesty. I want to talk about it with my mom, but she would go crazy if I told her. I probably would never be able to go to another party for the rest of my life. What advice did you give that girl, and what advice would you give to the mom? Because I think that's a pretty normal thing. I don't want to share with my mom because she will go crazy. And let's face it, a lot of times moms have fears and they do go crazy.
Well, for moms, let's start with the mom. First of all, mom, think before you speak. Listen first, talk second, and ask, don't assume. First of all, your daughter is a little bit frightened and nervous about even sharing this with you. Make her feel comfortable when she does start to share, because you want to cultivate that coziness, that comfortableness, so that she'll continue to tell you things next week, next month, 3 years from now that you really do want to know. You don't want to find out from anybody else. To the girl, I want to say, give your mom a chance. Give her a chance. Be honest with her. And as you're telling her this, tell her also that you know some things happened that weren't right. Now, mom, this is what happened. I don't agree with this. I don't think it was right. And I'm strong enough to stand up for my convictions. You and Dad have done a great job of instilling those within me. And next time I know that I'm not going to dance with a guy who I don't really, really know well. If I don't know his morality, and if I don't think he's a really good Christian guy, I'm not even going to dance with him. Okay, I've learned my lesson. That way, it kind of sets mom at ease. Okay, good. I don't have to lecture her. Yeah. But let's give mom a chance. So what I would say to the girl, let's just call her Becky, go ahead and give your mom a chance and couch within what you're saying. I have learned some things. Here's what I'll do different next time, so that you'll put her at ease. And then mom, give your daughter a chance to tell her story.
That is actually incredible advice. And I hope our listeners will take advantage of that, because, again, I think sometimes parents freak out is the word that the kids say. And I think sometimes kids won't be honest enough to at least even talk with their parents about it and actually be honest about it. Say, hey, you've done a good job here. That kind of takes the pressure off in some ways. I want to shift for a moment to something that you encourage families to do. And I love this. You call them Celebration Sundays. And you do it to build, you know, kind of a deeper sense of family connection, because, you know, kids are moving from dependence to independence. And this is the world that you work with. They're moving toward independence, but they still need their moms and they still need their dads and they still need this family connection. You suggest that families do these Celebration Sundays.
Yes.
What are they?
Well, it's just a time when you can get together with your family, let's just say your girl right now, since we're sitting on teen girls, and celebrate anything and everything. First of all, let's start out by celebrating God and celebrating our relationship with Him on Sunday. That's what we do as a family, so let's not sacrifice that. But then afterwards, let's go to your favorite spot. What do you want to choose today? You want tacos, or do you want steak? Do you want fried chicken, or do you want a hot dog? Let's do your favorite thing. If you want pancakes, we'll go home and I'll make you some of your favorite pancakes. And then let's just celebrate the little things in your life, because it's the little things that sometimes become big things in a girl's life. Like, hey, guess what? You're going to have your braces taken off in 3 weeks. Let's start the celebration now. You know, of course, 3 weeks later, you're going to celebrate in even a bigger way. Or let's celebrate today that you made a B- on that science test last Friday. Yeah. Wow, that is huge. Right. Just the little things in a girl's life that you can celebrate. And if you can't think of or pinpoint a specific thing, she made a B- or she's going to get her braces off, celebrate things like, honey, you know what? I don't think I've told you this in a while, but you have great penmanship, and we're going out for a 62-ounce Slurpee to celebrate your penmanship. You know, I've seen you in the hallway at church, and the way you include other people, you have a natural hospitality about you. Let's go celebrate that today. We're going to get an icy.
Interesting enough, what you're saying is affirmation is huge.
Absolutely,
and celebration and affirmation, we probably don't do it enough either one.
We want our daughters to feel like they are the princess of the world, and we can empower them to feel confident and secure by doing little things like this. You and I think, well, that's just nothing. I mean, that wouldn't take 5 minutes to do. But to a young girl, it means the world.
It really does. Actually, to some a little bit older girls, too, your dad, you tell a story in one of your books where your dad actually came and cleaned your garage. You were on a trip. And your dad was in his 80s, if I'm not mistaken, and he came and cleaned your garage as kind of an act of love.
Oh, my goodness. And I may start tearing up as I think about it. But yeah, my dad is 83, and I moved about a year and a half ago, just from one house to another here in Colorado Springs. And bless his heart, you know, my garage was just filled with boxes and stuff that I hadn't been able to quite move in yet. And he drove down from Oklahoma City to Colorado Springs, 12, 13-hour drive. And while I was out of town,
amazing,
packed boxes and threw them away, and cleared just enough space so that I could pull my car in the garage. That was so important to my dad that his single daughter, I've never been married, that I want my single daughter to be able to get her car in the garage because I want her to be safe. Don't want her to have to scrape off the windows when it gets cold.
Yeah.
And wow, that ministered to me. That was huge. To him, it probably wasn't anything. But to me, it rocked my world.
Well, I think it's important because you are your daddy's girl.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to do those kind of things. And the idea of celebration, that was celebration and affirmation in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn to the internet. It just has to be talked about. So many girls, I'm concerned about girls and guys today with internet issues. And it seems to me that, as you well understand, that so many of them are moving to chat rooms and they're experiencing cyber bullies. Girls today are experiencing amazing amount of pornography online. They are writing you and talking to you about this. What are they talking about and what do you say to them?
Well, a lot of girls are writing and saying, Susie, I met somebody online. Is it safe to go ahead and now have a personal, a face-to-face meeting with him, to meet him personally? How much information can I give away? And I'm just assuming that parents know that, that this is common sense, but maybe some of them don't, that we never give out personal information on the internet. We never mention our city or our state, for sure, our address, our phone number, things like that. Even if we mention our school, that person has a way to track it and they can find out. And Jim, true story, just a couple of years ago, heard about a teen girl who got online and met a guy. He was posing as a 16-year-old. She was 15 or 16. And they got to talking and they decided to meet in person. And it happened just up in Denver. And so it was at a hotel. She went and knocked on the hotel door. Imagine her a surprise when she opened the door and that man was her dad, who had also gone online, you know, wanting to have a sexual encounter with a younger girl. And so we can't trust the internet. Now, that's not saying it's all bad. Let's unplug the computer. Of course not. But there are things that moms and dads can do to help safeguard against stuff like that. For instance, get some protective software. Get that computer out of her bedroom and put it in an obnoxious place like the middle of the living room or in your family office, someplace that when you walk by, you can easily and quickly see what's on the front of that screen. So take these protective measures because you're just protecting your daughter when you do.
That's amazing. Protecting your daughter is what we're in many ways talking about as we say what your daughter isn't telling you. She wants protection. She wants security. She wants prayers. She wants blessing. She needs affirmation. And those are the kind of things we have to do. Got to ask you to come back. We've got a lot more to talk about.
I'd love to.
Susie Schellenberger with us.
And a great conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Hope you can be with us for the next edition of the program. Of course, if you're podcasting with us, you may have already listened to the next edition of the program. We podcast our Monday through Friday edition of the radio broadcast of Homeward that we also stream audio at homeward.com. So today's program is streaming audio. And you can also podcast it. Go to homeward.com and you'll see the podcast button. It'll redirect you to our site at iTunes. And then you could set up that subscription. It's free, by the way. And then as soon as Ben and I get the programs finally mixed and completed, because we're a pre-recorded program, then we go ahead and upload them and you can get them in your iPod. You can get them in your MP3 device and listen to us wherever you go. Start that process today at homeward.com.
I look forward to continuing our conversation with Susie on the next broadcast. Now, in closing of today's program, I want to stress a principle that was really the overarching theme of our discussion today. And even when it seems like your kids want nothing to do with you, and especially during those challenging middle school and high school years that we were talking about today, nothing means more in the life of a child than your very presence. In fact, you've heard me say, your very presence makes a difference in their life. They regard your very presence as a sign of caring and connectedness. Well, there are going to be some moments when your daughter, or actually your son too, simply doesn't have the words to express their feelings. At least that's my opinion. And that silence can be painful for us as parents to bear. It has been in my life at times. But you know what? If you will just commit to being available to your kids and being present in their lives, you'll give them the sense of security they need to make it through some of these most challenging seasons. And remember what it was like for you. It might have been a challenging time for you as well. Well, remember, the power of being there and your relationship with your teen or preteen will definitely improve. It does get better. That's been my experience. Teen years can be tough, but if you hang in there and you keep the relationship and you keep their spirit open, you really can develop a relationship that as they become young adults, it will become closer than you ever dreamed possible.
Amen to that. And I have talked to so many different people, Jim, over the years of our working together and producing this radio and audio programming together. So many different parents in various seasons of life who have just really appreciated the fact that you speak teenager so well, that you can speak into the parents' lives with this message of hope that they can stay in relationship with their teens. And I know your book, Teenology, is kind of like that crown jewel in your ministry, and it's a book that we highly recommend here on Homeward. If you, as a parent listening to the program today, are wondering how do you do a better job of unlocking your teenage daughter's heart, your teenage son's heart, highly recommend that you take a look at Dr. Jim Burns' book, Teenology. The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. You can order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center today at homeword.com. When you do order from us directly, a portion of the proceeds will go to support the ministry of Homeward here, and we truly appreciate your tax-deductible donations, gifts of any amount. So check us out online. Look at the book Teenology by Dr. Jim Burns when you go to homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.